Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Receive greetings from our Revere location. I'm so excited that I get to share God's word with you today. I wanted to ask you a question. Have you ever been outmatched? How many of you have ever done sports, like in school or at some level? All right. So those of you who have, that you guys understand what it's like to be outmatched every now and then. I played soccer in college, and we would travel back and forth. And you know, like, there's a spectrum of competition. Some teams are a little bit better. Some teams are a little bit worse. But then there are those moments when you face a team that is just stronger. And this happened to me one time. Our team went to visit another school for an away game. And as soon as we got there, we knew we were outmatched. I mean, just the way that they had their facility set up. They had the synthetic grass. The stadium was an actual stadium. Everything was, like, beautiful. And so we got onto the field, and then the other team came out to warm up, and we knew right then and there that we were in and over our heads. I mean, these were real athletes, okay? These were not pretend athletes. These were real athletes. And essentially, they wiped the floor with us. We did not touch the ball very much in that game, and we might as well have been paintings on the wall because that's how relevant we were during that match. And they scored like half a dozen goals. They had pity on us. They didn't score anymore. We didn't get one single goal. And we were outmatched in that moment. And I'm sure that you've been there in many different kinds of situations. But today we're talking about what to do when situations become overwhelming. And I think that happens to us all at a given moment. There are situations that we just feel like we're unmatched. We're up against something bigger. And we're reading today's story from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 1 through 9. And this is what it says. So they arrived at the other side of the lake. This is Jesus and his disciples. In the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the burial caves and could no longer be restrained. Somebody say, no longer be restrained. He could no longer be restrained even with a chain. Whenever he was put into chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrist and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night, he wandered among the burial caves and in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. With a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Now, watch carefully again that verse. Jesus asked, "What is your name?" And he replies, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." And so this is our story for today. And again, I want to explain to you a little bit of the background. Jesus and his disciples have just crossed the lake, and they've been preaching and ministering, mainly Jesus, and people are wanting to hear from him. And then he crosses to another side of the lake, this place where they lived. And it was a very different kind of place where he was going. And when he gets there, he meets a very, very strong man. A very, very strong man. And this man was deeply troubled. This man was a madman who was out of control due to unusual strength. And the people of that region had tried every way to civilize him, to tame him, and to restrain him. They tried to correct him, but nothing was working. There was no solution to this problem. They even tried chaining him up like an animal. But he would break the chains and the shackles. And verse 4 is very clear that no one was strong enough to subdue him. Somebody say, strong enough. There was no one that was strong enough to subdue him. Have you ever faced a situation that you thought, man, I don't know if I'm strong enough. I don't know if I have what it takes to deal with this. And so these people were up against something stronger than them. And friends, today, this is a great reminder to us all that Many of the challenges we face on a daily basis are stronger than we think. They are stronger than we think. And you've seen this when we look around the world, around the situations around us, the people around us. And it is heartbreaking to see so many well-meaning people who either don't want help or they can't get the help that they need. And they have to go on pretending that everything is okay, that everything is under control. They'll say things like, I got this, I'll be all right. Really, I don't need help. Everything is fine. I'll be just fine. But if we can be transparent for a moment, many times things aren't fine. Often there is a vicious elephant in the room, and we try to pretend that it isn't there, but the truth is everyone can see it. It is simply out of our control. Many times we've simply come to the end of ourselves, and after we've tried every formula and every trick, and after we've read every self-help book and heard every motivational guru, we kind of wind up in the same place. And then we enter this next stage, which is hopelessness. Somebody say hopelessness. I think there are few things in life as awful as having people giving up on you. When people give up on you. Has anybody ever given up on you? The people of this region had long given up on this troubled man. They had given up on him. He was too much. Maybe they didn't say it so bluntly, but perhaps with their attitudes, they communicated, you're beyond help. You're not worth the trouble. At best, they were afraid of him and what he might do, but that was it. There was no sense of respect, no sense of dignity for this man. This man was a lost cause. They'd long stopped investing into him. They simply gave up on him and he became a social outcast. And if he had a family, they probably wanted nothing to do with him. And so he spent his life living among the dead, out in the hills at the local cemetery. But friends, make no mistake about this. Despite the apparent physical strength he possessed, and he was a very strong man, this man was suffering. The Bible says that he self-inflicted pain, cutting himself with sharp stones. He was in deep, agonizing pain, howling through the hills day and night. And I doubt it was only physical pain that he felt. He was suffering on many levels, and he was bringing suffering to other people. He was in a state of mind that he didn't want to be in, but he had no escape. And I can't even imagine the despair. But one day, Jesus shows up to his address. One day, Jesus shows up to where this man is. And friends, this is a great reminder to you and to me that Jesus is able to meet you exactly where you are. And it doesn't matter what you're going through today. Doesn't matter what you're going through this morning. Jesus is able to meet you exactly where you are. And Jesus comes to this man in that place of darkness where he is bound. And watch what happens next in verse 6. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, and bowed low before him. Somebody say low. He bowed low before him. And with a shriek, he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had already said to the spirit, "Come out of the man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus demanded, "What is your name?" And he replied, "My name is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man." Let's talk about exposing the enemy for a moment. Exposing the enemy. A few weeks ago, the day right before Father's Day, actually, I accidentally cut my head on a broken light bulb in the Revere location basement. And there was blood everywhere. There was just, it was bad. We were getting ready. We were cleaning out some of the equipment that we were going to use. And thankfully, Travis, who many of you know, was there. And he gave me a ride to urgent care. And it was a wide enough gash that they had put staples. They had to put staples on my head. They gave me some ointment to put on it and told me to care for it consistently. And thankfully, it's healed up and I'm doing pretty good. But before they did any of that, they had to expose the wound. They had to expose the wound. They had to look deep into it to make sure that there wasn't a piece of debris there and to see what kind of procedure would be needed. Before they could staple anything, they had to make sure the wound was properly cleansed to avoid infection. And in this moment, this is somewhat similar to what Jesus is doing. Jesus steps into the scene and confronts the problem head on. And the first thing that happens is that the man bows low before Jesus. You see, friends, when you are facing a strong man, you may need somebody stronger. You may need somebody who's much stronger. And the Bible says in Luke 11, 21 and 22, that when a strong man is fully armed and guards his palace, his possessions are safe. Until someone even stronger, somebody say stronger, until someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, grips him of his weapons, strips him of his weapons, and carries off his belongings. You may need someone stronger this morning. And in this story, Jesus shows up, and he is the stronger man. He is the stronger man. All of a sudden, this man that no one could subdue is on his face before Jesus. He is on his face before Jesus. And friends, I want to encourage you today that it doesn't matter how complicated, how hopeless, how overwhelming your challenge seemed when you walked in here today. It is no match against the power of Jesus. It is no match against the power of Jesus. It is only in the name of Jesus that the tables are turned. Amen. It is only in the name of Jesus that every knee will bow. It is only in the name of Jesus that every situation must bow. It is only in the name of Jesus that every sickness must bow, that every stronghold must bow, that every storm must bow. It is only in the name of Jesus that everything that is causing you suffering and sorrow and delay and depression and stagnation and all kinds of things, it is only in the name of Jesus, because against Jesus, these things are no match. Jesus is the stronger man. And I want to try something with you. We don't do this much, but would you, if you're able to, would you stand with me just now, just for 15 seconds? And I want to practice taking authority in Jesus' name. And I want you to tell your neighbor, in Jesus' name, tell him, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, tell him, not in my name, in Jesus' name. And now I want you to think about the situations in your life. Think of one thing that you've been battling with, and I want you to speak to it and say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And then now just for the last 5 seconds, just begin to pray and say, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, whatever it is, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's a job situation, maybe it's a health issue, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, bow in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you give God a clap offering? Give God praise. Give God praise, because Jesus is the stronger man. Amen, amen. Give your neighbor a high five and sit back down. All right, all right. Jesus is the stronger man. Jesus has power over the forces of darkness. And he has power over that situation that you're dealing with. And what happens next is that Jesus begins pulling back the curtain, like that clip we just watched from The Wizard of Oz. He pulls back the curtain to see what's really going on by asking the question, "What is your name?" he asks. And the response is Legion, because there are many of us inside this man. And this idea of Legion, which was like a Roman military regiment of about 6,000 men, means that there were a lot of demons inside this man. There was a lot of them. So he said there are many. And in this moment, it's important to clarify that Jesus wasn't talking to the man with the problem. He was talking to the agents who were causing the man's problem. And he's going to the root issue, and he's pulling back the curtain to show the complexity of the matter. And friends, when we are trying to deal with situations, many times we have to go deeper in order to unearth the works of the devil. You see, this man could break through physical chains without a problem, but there were internal chains that he couldn't break. And even Jesus said in John 8:34, "I tell you the truth, Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And a slave doesn't have options. A slave is a slave. And often, friends, the first step to freedom is mustering the courage to identify the areas in our lives where we are shackled. And I want to ask you, is there something that is shackling you? Is there something that you are shackled to? Something that you are bound to this morning? Because it's important that we call it what it is. And at some point, we have to overcome things like blame shifting or excuses or pretending that it didn't happen or that everything is just fine. Now, this can be overwhelming, and you're right. If you've never done something like that, it can be a little bit intimidating. So around here, we try to create a safe environment, and we encourage you to reach out to your small group leader or one of the pastors on staff or a Christian therapist to help you ask the right questions. That would be a great place to start your journey. Because Jesus, in this moment, demands that the evil spirit identify himself. No one else had done this. Jesus shows up and he says, "What is your name?" Because what Jesus wants to do in this moment is he wants to expose the lies. He wants to expose the lies. You see, this man had so many voices talking in his head. Well, no wonder he was so confused. No wonder he was so confused. There are voices in our minds all the time that are talking, that are often deceiving us as well. Telling us all kinds of lies about our worth, about our capacity, about our purpose. And the media doesn't help. We hear all kinds of lies. We consume all kinds of lies. And maybe in your childhood or in another stage of your life, someone did or said something hurtful to you and it stuck with you. And it's a voice that talks to you like a broken record and you give into it and you let it play in your head over and over again. And maybe the voice tells you that you're not worth the trouble, that you'll never be free or that you're a failure. Maybe it's something worse. So how do we combat the lies of the devil? How do we do this? How do we differentiate between truth and lies? Well, I'll give you two things. The first one is the Word of God, the Bible. If we want to distinguish between lies and truth, we have to become familiar with the voice of Jesus. You have to get to know Jesus and know his voice. And that comes through a deep connection with the Word of God. Getting to know the Bible, which we believe is the Word of God. And if you've never done something like that, we would love to help you with that. Because it is a challenging thing. It can be very challenging. But the next thing is also community. Somebody say community. Community is very important. And it plays a vital role in exposing the devil by coming into the light. Which means simply having the courage to acknowledge that you can't achieve spiritual victory all by yourself. Not all the time. In fact, one of the devil's tactics is to isolate you. You see, in another one of the Gospels of the same account, it says that this man had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. And so the idea here is that freedom comes through transparency in a safe environment with followers of Jesus, people who are going on the same journey that you're going on. And so not only is Jesus strong enough to subdue this man, but he's also strong enough to set him free. And so he does. But watch what happens next. In verse 10, it says that then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be a large herd of pigs feeding on the hillside nearby. "Send us into those pigs," the spirits begged. "Let us enter them." So Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits came out of the man and entered the pigs. And the entire herd of about 2,000 pigs plunged down the steep hillside into the lake and drowned in the water. Now, for those of you who love bacon, this is a sad story. This is it's a sad day. It's a sad day. And so I want you to pay attention to a few things. Think of this. Just imagine the weight that this man was carrying inside that was strong enough to kill 2,000 animals. Just imagine that, that he had been carrying this around. It's a very, very interesting idea. And then notice that at first, one of the spirits was talking on behalf of the others, but now multiple spirits are all begging. They're begging Jesus, and they're all asking for one thing: to not be sent to some distant place. To not be sent to some distant place. And so they know that Jesus is going to cast them out of that man. They're just pleading to not be sent elsewhere. They wanted to stay in that place, in that area, in that region. This is very interesting. What is it about that place that they don't want to leave? Well, friends, one of the things that these evil spirits reveal in that moment is that Jesus is on a bigger assignment in this place. He's on a much bigger assignment in this region. This is a hostile takeover. This is an invasion. Jesus is coming there intentionally because he knows that there is a stronghold in that place. This is a tough place to get to. And I want you to notice this in the resistance that Jesus faces just to get to that place. You see, as soon as he had crossed the lake, he encounters resistance. There's a storm that arises that almost sinks the ship. And then the evil spirits come out to confront Jesus, because when it says that the spirit came out to meet Jesus, or the man came out to meet Jesus, he wasn't coming to welcome him to the place. He wasn't coming to give him a gift or to introduce himself. He was coming to oppose him. He was just outpowered in that moment. And then the evil spirits beg not to leave that place. And then the people of that place are acting a little bit strange. You see, after the pigs drown, the nearby townspeople hear about it and they come out to see what's happening. And verse 15 says that a crowd soon gathered around Jesus, and they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, fully clothed and perfectly sane. And they were all afraid. Then those who had seen what happened told the others about the demon-possessed man and the pigs. And the crowd began pleading with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. Sound familiar? Well, it's interesting because on the other side of the lake, multitudes were pressing in to hear from Jesus. And in fact, they were waiting for him to get back. But on this side, everything is telling Jesus to stay away from here. He was in the Decapolis, which means the 10 towns. He was in a place that most religious or morally good people would avoid, because it's an area that was full of people who did not know God. And so no self-respecting person would go there, certainly no teacher of God's word. But even though the situation is happening, Jesus goes. You know, you can imagine people telling Jesus, "Are you crazy, Jesus? Stay away from that place. It's dangerous." And the odds are that this madman wasn't the only crazy person around, or the only troubled person around. In fact, the Bible says that there was at least another person that was in a similar condition. But because Jesus has a habit of going into the most difficult and complicated situations, he went. He went into this place. And then he's asked to leave. Jesus is not welcomed in this place. But watch what Jesus does. And it's very, very powerful. And I don't want you to miss this. And as the worship team comes up, I want you to see verse 18. It says, as Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon possessed begged to go with him. But Jesus said, "No, go home to your family and tell them everything the Lord has done for you and how merciful he has been." And so the man started off to visit the 10 towns of that region and began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed at what he told them. So friends, this man is now truly unchained. Jesus sends this former madman back to the same place he had been terrorizing before. The same people who had looked down on him. The same people who had outcasted him. And he's going to tell them what Jesus has done in his life. Jesus leaves him in that region as a kingdom ambassador. He sends him to confront the spiritual rulers and authorities of that place with the message of Jesus. He's like Rambo. Does anybody remember Rambo? Right? He gets dropped off in a jungle, takes down single-handedly an entire nation's army. Everybody shoots at him. Nobody hits him. It's fantastic. Well, this is not quite that way, but he is representing the kingdom now in that place. Friends, this is an encouragement that when we experience this type of opposition, the type that Jesus encountered, we have to not give up. We have to not lose hope. It means that you're closer to freedom than you think. You're closer to freedom than you think. And it's also important to remember that the purpose of your freedom is bigger than you. It's bigger than you. Amen. You can clap for that. Maybe there's someone here today and you're the first one in your family to come to an understanding of who Jesus is, to come to surrender your life to Jesus' leadership and forgiveness. And you feel like you're alone. Well, there's a greater purpose for your freedom. You see, friends, if Jesus has set you free and if he set me free from something and if he has done something transformative for me, who am I to keep it from others? Why would I withhold what Jesus has done for others who may be in the same situation I used to be in? Maybe you know a person who is in the same place that you used to be in. And you can now tell them, hey, let me tell you about Jesus and what he's done for me. Would you stand with me today? This is why a great leader, the Apostle Paul, writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16. He says, "This is a trustworthy saying, and everyone should accept it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them all. But God had mercy on me so that," two very important words, "so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst of sinners. Then others will realize that they too can believe in him and receive eternal life." Friends, God has a greater purpose for your freedom. He wants to turn your mess into a message. And that message is the message of God's patience and compassion. And as you're fighting the battle, remember that the victory is important not only for you, but for those around you and those who look up to you and those who will come after you. You are simply paving the way to freedom. Amen. Why don't you take a moment and as you close your eyes and bow your heads, I want to end with a time of prayer and reflection. And I want to ask you some important questions today. What is chaining you up today? Is there something that you came in here with that you know that you are bound to it, that is stronger than you, that you're chained up to? Or are you suffering today? In what area of your life do you need to acknowledge that you've lost control? And what lies of the devil do you need to confront today in Jesus' name? And so I want to sing this final song together. And as we sing this song, the altars are open if you'd like to come up for prayer. But don't miss this moment, because I believe Jesus wants to step into that situation and turn it around, because Jesus is stronger. Let's sing this together. Would you just lift up your hands and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you are stronger." Tell him in your own words, "Thank you, Jesus, for being stronger. Thank you that we can trust you in the storm, God. Thank you that in every situation we can look to you. We can call upon you, God. We know that you are stronger. No matter what we see in the moment, no matter what is all around us, God, we know that you are stronger. You overcame. That you've already won. God, we cling to that promise and we invite you now into every area of our lives. That you would look at us, that you would see the areas where the enemy has taken a stronghold, that we would be able to be free from it, God. And God, I pray that if anyone in this room came bound to something or in suffering or pain, God, would you replace that sorrow with joy? Replace that pain, God, with laughter. God, replace all of that hopelessness with a clear sense of hope, clear understanding that you are stronger, that you're going to fight on our behalf. God, we hand these situations over to you now. We give all of it over to you. And we say, Jesus, we need you. Jesus, you are wanted, God, in my life. Jesus, there is a place for you in my life. I need you. In Jesus' name.